space plane was approaching the natural clearing they had chosen. Brendan checked with the Black Hawks, which were still supervising the observation. He was assured there was no human activity within at least 2 kilometers of the clearing. Qualtook and baby giganteas ringed their allocated landing site. Inside them, burnt and broken stumps were still visible through the mantle of vines, evidence of the fire which had raged decades ago. The space plane nosed its way cautiously over the edge of the trees, as if afraid of what it might find. Birds took to the air in dismay at the huge predator shape and the clarion squealing it emitted. A radar pulse slashed across the ground, slicing straight through the vine leaves to uncover the extent of the stumps. Landing struts unfolded from the fuselage, and after a minute of jostling to avoid the more hazardous protrusions, it settled gently on the ground, compressor nozzles blasting dusty fountains of dead leaves and twigs into the air. Even as silence stole back into the clearing, the outer airlock hatch was opening. Chaz Pasque led his team out. 5 disc-shaped aerovets swooped into the sky, rim-mounted sensors probing the encircling jungle for motion or infrared signatures. The mercenaries began to unload their equipment from the open belly holds. They were all boosted, their appearance way outside the human norm. Chaz Pasque was bigger than any Cosmonique, his synthetic skin the color of weather-worn stone. He didn't bother with clothes other than weapon belts and equipment straps. "Hurry it up," Brendan said. "The jamming is getting worse. I can hardly get a signal through to the satellites." Pods and cases began to accumulate on the battered carpet of vines. Chaz was hauling down a portable zero-tau pod containing an affinity-bonded eagle, when an aerovet datavised him that there was a movement among the trees. He picked up a gauze rifle. The aerovet was hovering a meter over the trees, providing him an image of heads bobbing about through the undergrowth, 9 of them making no attempt to hide. "Hey!" a woman's voice shouted. The mercenaries were fanning out, positioning the aerovets to provide maximum coverage. "The Black Hawk said there was no one here," Chaz Pasque said, "for Christ's sake." "It's the optical distortion," Brendan replied. "It's worse than we thought." The woman emerged into the clearing. She shouted again and waved. More people came out of the trees behind her, women and a couple of boys in their early teens, all of them in dirty clothes. "Thank God you're here," she said as she hurried over to Chaz. "We waited and waited. It's terrible back there."
"Hold it," Chaz said.
She didn't hear him or ignored him, looking down to pick her way over thick tangles of vines. "Take us away, up to the starships, anywhere, but get us off this planet."
"Who the hell are you? Where do you come from?"
At the back of his mind, Chaz thought how odd it was that his appearance didn't affect her. People normally showed at least some doubt when they saw his size and shape. This woman didn't. His neural mnemonics cautioned him that the gauze rifle's targeting processor was malfunctioning.
"Stop!" he bellowed when she was 6 meters away. "We can't take any chances. You may have been sequestrated. Now, where are you from?"
She jerked to a halt at the volume he poured into his voice.
"We're from the village," she said, slightly breathless. "There's a whole group of them devils back there."
"Where?" The woman took another pace forward and pointed over her shoulder.
"There!"
Another step.
"Please, you must help us."
Her haggard face was imploring. All 5 aerovets fell out of the sky. The ground below Chaz Pasque's feet began to split open with a wet, tearing sound, revealing a long fissure from which bright white light shone upwards. Neural mnemonics overrode all natural human feelings of panic, enforcing a smooth threat response from his body. He jumped aside, landing beside the smiling woman. She hit him. Terence Smith had lost contact with 3 of the 11 space planes which had landed, and the remaining 3 in the air were approaching the Qualheim counties. The observation satellites were unable to provide much information on the fate of those that had been silenced. The images they produced of the drop zones were decaying by the minute. None of them had crashed, though,